Hey, everybody. Welcome back to yet another bonus episode of Matt and Dwight Just Might. That's right. Every episode now is a bonus episode because we should have stopped a while ago.
Damn, they released another one?
Oh man, this is like those Tupac albums that kept coming out, you know, like, oh, we found some more shit, and we found more shit in the vault, you know. This is a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are trying to figure it out as they make their way through life and comedy and everything in between. My name is Matt Alano Martin. With me, as always, is Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how have you been?
I've been great.
48 hours
since we last spoke.
Yeah, we're doing close proximity episodes.
Things have not fallen apart in the last, since the last episode, since the last release. But we said we won't be late again. We're going to get one out on time before we take 2 weeks off, basically.
That's true. I'm going on vacation, and then you're going on vacation, which is exciting. I did not know that you're heading to Mexico City. That's very, very cool.
I did not know that either up until a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Gotta use those points. Gotta use those.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, you can't just be leaving your passport laying around for her to like make those bookings, man.
I know. That's what a shared calendar gets you.
Yeah. Oh, so you just weren't looking at the shared calendar. Is that what it was?
No, I think, you know, you come out of winter, everyone's just like, you know, antsy and wants to get out and leave. I think you want to leave the country anytime given the last year and a half, but
that's true.
And then several times before November, but yeah, man, I'm excited to get away. I'm gonna try to turn the brain off a little bit, schedule out a bunch of posts and get a lot of work related stuff done, and then try to enjoy before jumping full back in. That's my strategy, at least.
I think that's a good strategy. Now, obviously, Megan is fluent in Spanish, like incredibly fluent, so much so she worked as a Spanish broadcaster at one point.
Yeah.
And
uses it
every day at her current job as well. Are you fluent in Spanish? Can you speak Spanish at all?
No. And I said that in English. I want everyone to know I said no in English, in English. Uh-huh. No, this is when you have a crutch like that is so useful. So we've been to Puerto Rico, we've been to Mexico, but when you have a tool that is just at your disposal,
slightly better that you went from referring to your wife as a crutch to a tool, but it's
it's a language crutch.
Okay. Oh no, not her. It'd be both. Not you, baby. Just your skill set. You know.
Yeah, that's what we're using you for.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's nice. It's nice to have. When like you're looking for last minute recommendations or directions, and someone can be so specific about with like a local, not like stopping at one of these places that will direct you to touristy areas, because I'm not about that life. I like to see the actual city and shit like that.
I'm the same way. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like when you go to like an all expense included resort or any kind of resort, even if you have to pay for the meals each time you eat or whatever, like resorts are nice, like don't get me wrong, they're nice, but to get out of that and actually see the real shit is important. And I'm with you on that vibe for sure.
You've had yours planned for a while though, right?
Yeah, my buddy JD is getting married they're getting married in a small town outside of London, and so Denise and I are going on doing vacation stuff. It's been like 30 plus years since she was there. It's been about 20 years or so since I was in England, and so we're just gonna go do some touristy shit and then go to my buddy's wedding.
Love it.
And my brother, you know, people that have been following on the podcast know that my brother is recovering from a stroke, and you know, he's mostly back and everything, and I there's always this thing now of whether or not like everything he does is like a little silly. I'm like, is that the stroke or is that just him? Like, but he already said this kind of silly ass shit, but he was just like, oh, I bet it's going to be beautiful. I was like, they're not royalty, man. They're like,
oh yeah.
Just cause it's in England. He just kind of said it in this way, like he thought it was going to be like the Princess Di wedding or something. And
right.
I'm like, no, man. Like, they're just two working class musicians. Like, they're broke, man. Like, this shit's very chill.
That is so funny. It's like, do we have to show up early to get through palace security?
Mm-hmm. Yes. But yeah, but I'm sure it will be lovely because they're lovely human beings. But anyway, so we did just drop a bonus episode on Saturday, and neither one of us had shows, so we don't really have anything to recap. I do want to make one small update to my plugs, though, from last week. I will not be featuring for Robbie Hoffman at the Comedy Attic now. Oh. Coming up, Robbie is bringing their own feature, so Jared, looking out
Damn
for
you,
me.
Robbie!
It's all right. I understand. I mean, it's not great, but I understand. So I will now be featuring the last weekend of April, April 26th and 27th at the Comedy Attic for Sam Talent, which should be a lot of fun. I like Sam. He's a good dude.
Yeah,
good hang. Yeah. And so, yeah, so that's my one little change to my plug. And then, of course, the weekend before that, 19th and 20th, I'll be at Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Do you want to do your plugs real quick? Because we got a heck of a question, and we teased this on the last episode. Like, it's good that we don't have a lot of like show recaps, because this question, I think, is going to go, if not the duration, a good amount of it. So,
yeah, definitely. So this week, Friday, where's my calendar, you think, Matt? I did have a full. You ever have 117 tabs pulled up?
Yeah, and I try to keep that shit under control. I think it's more than like 5 tabs, I start to get like stressed out, and I need to make some choices here.
No, I feel like more powerful. I was like, go again. Another one. Friday, March 29th, I will be in Avon at the Cigar Box. That's in just outside of Indianapolis. So if you're nearby, come smoke a cigar. I don't smoke, but you could. And mm-hmm. watch a show. And then it's Easter weekend. You got Easter plans, Matt?
We'll be in London, and I don't know if anything's going to be open or things to do. I don't know. Like, other than the wedding, the only concrete thing that we've made plans for is the next day on April 1st, we're going to go see a matinee of Moulin Rouge.
See, now that is...
The West End of London. We're going to go see a big-ass, fancy-ass musical in the West End of London.
Now, that's what I want to hear about when you come back, because that's dope. I like that song. I like that. I like the old song and the new song.
Uh-huh.
You know the one with Christina Aguilera? And
yes, exactly. But Maya. You're trying to bait me into saying the original, just like we did last episode, when I correctly said it was the OJs with Fight the Power.
God. Which is... Sometimes
it's not Isley Brothers. I'm sorry, not OJ. It's not Isley Brothers.
See, now sometimes I feel like you
try to bait me to say some old man shit. I get it.
You make references to me like I'm 78 years old, and it's hurtful. I know I'm balding, but come on, man. It's April 4th. That's a Thursday. I'll be in Birch Run, Michigan. And then the next night, that Friday, I'll be in Tawas Bay, Michigan. That's a resort. Pretty far north. So looking forward to being back in Michigan. Also want to plug April 1st, when Matt is at Moulin Rouge, I will be having the pre-sale of my audio for my special, Who's the Master, available. So look out for that. So that will be dropping April 12th. So we're doing a good lead time of promotion. Good. Unlike the video version of the special, where they're like, here you go. It's ready.
And remind me, is Brandy putting out your audio?
Yes, with Burn This Records, Brandy Posey on top of her shit, doing a lot of, she's a comic, so she gets it, I feel like, and really has a good vision. So I wanted to do well. We're going to put the 37 minutes of the special and then add the DMX story on the end of it, because that has never been recorded or released on audio. So
That's amazing.
I'm surprised
that you didn't I forgot, because you tried to do this and then the recording never went before, correct? This was like the second go around for this hour. I do recall that now. Well, that's very exciting, and love Brandy, and I look forward to putting something out with her as soon as I get around to it.
I do. Before we jump into the question, I'm really trying to, I'm like scratching my brain on how to promote this audio thing, because it's so tough. Like, trying to, you're basically begging family and friends to go buy this. I don't know if I repost videos and be like, if you just want to not see my face, here's the way to do that.
Well, I think you need to push the fact that it's expanded, that it has additional content that wasn't in the video special. And I think you could just make like little, I mean, on social media where you have to use some sort of video format to get looks and clicks, I think maybe you just think about it like you're making a little commercial, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the, and again, I don't know, because I am wildly unsuccessful and pretty close to giving up on comedy at any time when you talk to me. So I don't know if I'm the right person to ask.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to our comedy advice podcast where we're both quitting.
Opposite.
No, but it's like, it's any sort of promotion. This isn't just unique to a special release or album release. It's just any type of promotion, trying to keep up with the trends and what's actually going to be pushed out and successful. Just because Facebook is doing this, they want you to test out everything so they can then find the audience. They're like, test out for a week, and then we'll be able to narrow in your audience.
But they want you to pay for that test week, right?
Oh yeah, of course. It's like if you have a 2 month lead time, then it's better. I think this is because the iOS thing, like you can't target as specifically as you could. So this is their way of being like, gonna cast a wide net and then hopefully narrow in to find your demographic. It's like their loophole.
Yeah.
But
I was gonna say, I don't know, other than making like taking clips from the special and then just acting like the video special never came out, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
That's the other thing in social media is like, we often think like, oh, my followers have already seen this. But I mean, if you're buying ads, if you're paying for clips to go out, the whole idea is it's casting much farther than your followers, and you're going to catch people who've never even, you know. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I want it to do well, but the whole point of doing this is to get Tracks back on Sirius, to be honest, because that's where the Skrilla is.
That's where the Skrilla is, that is for sure. Yeah. Yeah, man, I don't know. Like, maybe I don't know why I cannot think of his name. It's not Maxwell. D'Angelo, you need to deep fake your face onto D'Angelo's body from the video. And it's still just like abs and like the V cut and the glisten.
Yeah.
The slow pan up and the sweat dripping down, but it's your face telling the jokes. Like, so you're all like, ah, I did that.
That's very good. That's very good.
Do you think it's racist?
Unfortunately, I can't have abs or braids. So,
that's what I'm saying. Deep fake your face onto him. Yeah.
There was.
You're obsessed with like, but we're going to make sure we get the braids. We're going to get the braids on there. We're going
to. Yeah. Cause you want people to be like, oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. You don't want it to be like one of those. Remember the Jib Jab videos?
Oh, my God.
Take a static photo of your face and put it on a cartoon person's body. Yeah, maybe do that.
I'll bring that back.
Bullshit. Yep. There you go.
I'll spend 30 hours doing this thing. That won't pay off.
You could do the thing. What was it? Nick Thune, who took out for his album release, he got a billboard, like a random billboard in the middle of Oregon. And then, of course, got picked up by these news stories about like his marketing campaign. He spent all of the money on one billboard interstate in Oregon. Yeah. So you could do that,
I'll think it over.
Okay. Well, either way, I mean, hopefully everybody that's listening to the podcast will pre-order that. And we'll of course remind everybody, although the pre-order will be dropping while we're on our hiatus.
Yeah.
So
April Fool's
make
Day.
Sure that, yeah, just April Fool's Day, just make sure you're following Dwight on the social media and he'll be sure to tell you about it. And so, it's exciting, man.
Yeah.
It's good.
I'm pumped up about it.
Well, does it have a different name, or is that also going to be called Who's the Master?
I didn't do anything.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this about me, Matt. I was just like, fuck it. At points, I'm just like, it's Brandy is very nice. And she's like, you want to re-record some stuff? And I was like, no, because the emotionality is just not going to be there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not going to be great. There. Like your performance is honed in, is locked in.
Yeah.
Is there a reason that they didn't do the DMX story in the special?
I think it was, it was my,
did it that night.
I did it that night. It was my decision from a editing point.
Did they have a certain amount of time that you couldn't go over?
No, no. They, so they never sent me that file, and I was trying to get the special out. So they sent, they had it two different files. So I didn't get the DMX thing until
two,
like,
different nights. Yeah.
Like, I didn't get it until after the special came out, and I was asking about it, and it was just, they're difficult to deal with. So I was like, just put the special out, and then we can put the DMX thing out on its own. Yeah. But there's a reason that special is 37 minutes, because that bit is 15 minutes on its own.
Yeah. Man, that sucks, dude. Not to revisit that again, but also, that sucks.
So I'm like, we're gonna work with Brandy, who's dope. Burnthis Records, is follow them on Instagram. They're doing a lot of cool startup shit, which I am all on board with.
Yep, I agree. I second that. All right, with the plugs out of the way, do we want to jump into the question?
Let's get it.
All right. This question of the week comes from a longtime listener and frequent questioner, and we love that. Trent Babb. Trent writes, "Hey guys, seeing that it is tax season, how do you keep track of your deductibles and what exactly is allowed to be written off? In 2023, I made roughly $16,000 doing comedy."
Man, out here balling.
I just want to do that for you, grinding. My friend. Yeah. Made roughly $16,000 doing comedy and putting on shows. But as a booker on paper, it looks like I made way more because the numbers from Eventbrite don't show what I paid the other comics. Is there a way to officially track these numbers? Also, I attached a sample of how I record my comedy money, and it'd mean a lot if you could critique what and how I record my expenses. Chances are I'm doing it all wrong. Thanks for the great podcast, Matt and Dwight. Trent. And then I had forwarded this to you as well last week, so you could take a look at it. This is it is tax season. So this is an important thing. And let's just start from the beginning before we actually start tackling Trent's questions. Just a quick primer for everybody out there. The way that the taxes work in comedy, if you're listening to this podcast, you were obviously probably not at the point where you have agents and managers and all kinds of people that are doing this shit for you. You're probably a young up-and-coming comic or an old still trying to come up comic like ourselves. And the basic rule of thumb is that once you make $10,000 a year from comedy, and that's all in, that's like whether that's from your SiriusXM money, that's your live performances, if you have a successful podcast, if you have a Patreon, whatever.
Yeah,
all piled together, all your comedy money exceeds $10,000. You have to claim that money as income. It's no longer hobby, right? Which gets taxed separately.
Right.
The nice thing about that, though, is once that you're over that $10,000 limit, you now get to start writing shit off, because until you're making $10,000 in comedy, you can't write off your gas money. They consider it a hobby, right? Even if you made $9,000 that you're doing this thing, they're like, well, that's still a hobby. You don't get to write off any expenses.
Right.
So the beauty of it is there's no one way to do it. It's really, it's however works for you and your particular situation. I know comics that go to the limit with write-offs. Like they fucking write, and you can write off, just like, you jump in with any ones that you think of that I missed. Like, obviously there's the real obvious ones, right? There's your mileage that you on your vehicle driving to gigs. There's hotels, right? If you buy your own hotel, there is your food when you're on the road doing shows away from your home. There is plane tickets, obviously. There are festival submission fees. That all gets, you can deduct all that kind of stuff under development.
Electronics, it's like if you send your bookings out on your laptop, it's
bought a new laptop that year, that can be written off because you use it to write your jokes and use it to email bookers and use it to edit your videos. I bought
home internet
video camera, I bought a fancy video camera that gets written off because I'm using it to tape sets to post stuff. Your home internet can be written off. A portion of your rent or mortgage can be written off because you have a home office, because so much of what we do as comics is from our home. We use the home office. Let's see what else. Your cable bill, if you still are old school and haven't cut the tie, you can cut. You can do that because you got to have CNN to write those topical jokes, baby. You got to, you know,
yeah,
you're
exactly.
Doing, you're doing comedy research by watching The Daily Show and stand up on Comedy Central, all that kind of stuff can get written off. Articles of clothing that you wear to on stage when you buy those
clothing. I was going to say,
clothing you can take off. Dinner stuff, like there's also stuff like I've known people that have done, like if they've gone to see a movie, because then they might write a joke about Bad Boys 4 coming out very soon, and I'm very excited about
see it, baby.
This is the pre-roll before Dwight and I are not in Bad Boys 4. We don't have anything to do with Bad Boys 4. I'm just a big fan of the franchise, so I'm very excited that
they're huge. Another one. I love Mike Lowry. I love Mike Marcus. Lowry. Yeah,
I mean Marcus is the shit. He's like he's the main, particularly in the last couple. But anyway, we digress. So, with all that being said, can be kind of overwhelming. And also what my accountant had told me was like, you could write so much shit off that you can have a very good year in comedy and show that you took a loss, right?
Yeah.
So that you don't owe the government anything. Cause that's the other thing that people maybe just don't even think about it is like, yeah, you made $10,000 in comedy or more, $16,000, $20,000, whatever. And now the government wants its cut. The nice thing about hobby money is the government doesn't really want a cut of it.
Yeah.
They don't fuck with it. Now they want to tax you for it because it's income. So the idea is to claim enough stuff, is to write off enough stuff to get your actual net income as close to zero as possible every year.
Right.
That's what every business does. Every business that can possibly do it. There's a reason the casinos love to have free comedy shows in their lounges. And free concerts in their lounges and anything on free turkey giveaways around Thanksgiving because they print money and they have to write off as much shit as possible. You're just like a tiny little baby casino, right?
Right.
Your goal is to get as close to zero as possible. But my accountant did tell me one time, it's like, you don't want to show a loss year after year after year because then that sends up a flag and the IRS is going to come knocking because they're going to be like, well, either this isn't the job because you're terrible at it and you're not making any money, or you're clearly doing some shit and we want to get our cut.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So I just to stay off the radar, I always get it down to basically where I show that I've made around $1,000, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, depending on the year. And then I send in my little check to the government and to the state. Here's your taxes. This is what I owe you.
Yep.
But I also, you know, and this is probably the same for you too. Like I have joint taxes with my wife who has a regular job. And so there, you know, there was a thing where for a while I could just show a loss because all it did was like bring down our group income down a little bit. But the accountant was like, you don't want to do this even though it's in the mix, someone's going to catch this and they're going to come knocking and you don't want
that. Yeah, for sure. For
sure. What I basically do is I only claim mileage. I claim the most basic stuff. I don't think I've claimed clothing in forever. If I buy a new laptop or I bought this camera, I will. I don't think I write off my internet because I think it gets down to a point where I'm just like, I don't need to. If I do that, then it's going to dip me back into losing again. So I just do the most basic shit. And the most basic shit is travel expenses. That's the big one.
Right.
You know, and then large purchases like cameras or, you know, if you DIY a special and you pay camera crew and stuff like that, then obviously all that shit gets, you know, written off as well.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you write off? Like, how do you do it? Yours?
So this has changed since I've been married, obviously, but I think the general, I see Trent kept a sheet and I do the same thing like digitally. I talked to we just got an accountant that I talked to and he was like, you can be doing a lot more. So the way that I'm going to do it moving forward, beginning of last year I downloaded an app called Keeper. And what that is that it's just for taxes. It takes all your history and then it's like, it asks you if it doesn't know, but it's like, hey, do you travel for work? So gas automatically goes in the gas thing, keeps it nice and charted out so that you have everything. But I also am going to start keeping paper receipts just because I do want to write off more stuff than I have been previously. So I So I had never written off like meals and stuff like that. I've been basic, like you said, you're trying to get back to travel, hotels, stuff like that. But I think I want to take it to another level this year, just because I do plan on buying, you know, a camera. I got to get a new phone soon. I'm traveling more. Last year I did a bunch of festivals, which you don't get paid for, but those are business expenses.
Yes.
So I got to write off all that stuff. That's the thing. If you do a bunch of stuff that you're not getting paid for, you definitely need to write off those expenses.
Yes, of course. Yes. Yeah.
So going back through and seeing, you know, what we spent.
Well, let me also just add a wrinkle here to you. And it was, again, it depends on how you're doing it. But I was told kind of early on this is true for mileage and for meals. You can keep paper receipts and claim what you actually spent, or you can take the government standardized deduction, right? And the thing we'll start with meals, since you talked about that, you're going to keep paper receipts on all your meals and stuff. If you've never deducted meals, you have been missing out, because you can actually deduct more than you usually eat. If you just take the standardized deduction, you don't have to keep any paper receipts, right?
Yeah.
Because as comics, we're usually eating the free hotel breakfast, right? Taco Bell, and then hopefully free dinner at the comedy club, right? I think that it's different by city. If you take the time to really do it by city, like if I'm in San Francisco for 3 days, I'm claiming those and we go through them all. But I think the national average, if you just do blanket national average, it's something like $78 a day.
Right.
To really try, because it's geared towards traveling salesmen that are going to steak dinners and shit like that. Right. That's what it's built for. But as independent contractors, as comics, we could do it. So you can claim more than you actually spent. So it's like making money on the back end, essentially. And the same thing with mileage. Now, we're both very smart, savvy men with Priuses. So we
Prius
really
gang.
Fucking
Prius gang.
On this. Yeah. Now, Trent's in California, where gas is fucking expensive. So it may not be worth him doing this. It may be more worth doing the actual mileage. But rather than saying I spent $20 to fill up my tank, the standard average mileage is something like 39 cents a mile or 48 cents a mile or something.
When
you do the math, it's way more than what you actually spend at the pump. So that's the second way you can make money on the back end when you do your tax and make money. Basically, you're able to write off more than you spent. And so that's a way to kind of come out ahead too, is that way.
So how do you keep track? Like, how do you prove?
I'm lazy as fuck. Okay. Well, everything goes onto a credit card. I have I have one credit card. Everything goes on to. It's my Delta credit card. I'm earning miles the entire time.
That's a huge thing. That's basically what I was getting at. Because that's an automatic receipt. That's an automatic
check. Exactly.
Versus
everything credit card.
If you're paying cash, then you need to keep
never. Yeah, everything. Never pay cash for shit.
Yeah,
never
not pay everybody. Cash for shit. Not everybody
when you get paid cash, the government don't need to know about it.
Yeah. Do that merch. Like this, we didn't say merch. If you have merch, that is a write off. I think Brent does this beautifully. He knows exactly, because he's a walking Walmart. He knows exactly how many shirts and t-shirts and koozies and hats and how many he has. And if they get low, he has to order more.
Right.
It's just a great system.
He's got a system
of keeping track of how much you've actually spent versus how much you've actually made.
Yeah. Now, the merch is tricky, because there is also the thing too, where like, yes, you can write off what you had to spend on getting the merch made. And then of course you're paying taxes on the sales of the merch. Right. But then there's also a thing where if you are stuck with a bunch of merch at the end of the year, you're supposed to pay taxes on that.
Right.
So you're supposed to pay taxes on shit you didn't sell.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a warehouse tax.
That's why we say, those t-shirts, baby.
Business. That's why I'm always like, well, come and search my basement if you want, if you think I'm sitting on. But also, like, I'm doing such low volume. Like,
come and search my basement. You had to get past me and my Toyota Prius.
You coppers, come on now. But yeah, so that's another thing. And it all goes into the thing. But the way that I keep track is, I don't have an app. I don't have anything. Like, basically, I sit down. Like, Denise and I have been pretty bad about procrastinating. We're going to do it when we get back from London. When we have about 3 days to spare, we're going to sit down and do our taxes. But what I do is I sit down and I look at my calendar from the year before. So I look at my 2023 calendar and I will just map out using Google Maps.
Yep.
The mileage when I drove to that city, mm-hmm. you know, city and back and everything. So I'm not even getting that specific where right. it's like the city, you know, I'm just going like here to Oklahoma City. How many miles is that? And I just make a list like this is all the drives I did yep. for work. This is all the mileage that adds up to. That's my mileage. I take off. I just do the standardized deduction for that.
Yep.
Same thing. I make a list of like how many nights was I away from home and what cities was I away. Right. Yep. And you know, a lot of times I'm in like the same city, like Chicago or Atlanta or something. I go to several times a year.
Right.
I just make sure that those all go in together. All right. These are that for the food deduction. I go through my credit card bill for the previous year. I grab anything that's like a flight, a fucking, you know, bought this camera with my credit card, bought, mm-hmm. you know, hotels. I just make a master list like that.
Yep.
And that's how I do it. And so, yeah. And it's like a way that I don't have to like constantly be like keeping an envelope full of paper. I'm from the paper receipts generation. You know, when I was the tour manager for bands, we had a giant manila envelope that every time you got gas, you put the receipt in there. Every time you got a hotel, the receipt went in there, mm-hmm. you know.
And now these just like, what do you think happened to the manila envelope economy once these damn apps turn? Sorry to distract. That's a burning question. You said you're from the manila envelope generation. And I said, mm-hmm. Damn, yeah. that must have been a good time. That must have been a good time. The manila envelope, you know, generation.
It's pretty fat. I don't know. Is it just a bunch of cash in there? Some drugs, or is it just a bunch of receipts? A bunch of truck stop receipts.
Got your black briefcase full of manila envelopes.
Yeah,
we got to do our taxes. We're punk rock, so baby. Fuck the government.
That's the way that I do it it's worked for me so far. And again, you know, it's mine just, you know, goes in with my wife's, you know, income. We do our taxes together, mm-hmm. but we don't have an accountant anymore. Basically I learned from my accountant after a couple of years and then she retired and I didn't like the new lady. And so I was like, I think I got it. I mean, cause I was sitting there with her while she was doing our taxes.
Right.
And it's like, all right, I got it. I know how to do it. So we just use TurboTax now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so, and that's what I would recommend, unless you just want that, you know, that safety of having somebody you can blame it on, you know,
like shit goes south. I love that.
Yeah.
I got one this year because I ended up even with Megan's getting a return. I still owed like $2,200.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not capitalizing enough on things, which is true. And it's like you said, it's laziness, but I've been more diligent this year. That's a huge difference. And I know so many comics that get past that $10,000 threshold that just say, fuck it. Please don't do that. don't do that.
You're leaving money on the table. Anything that you're not writing off, you're just leaving. It's dumb. It's stupid.
Yep.
You know, like, cause unless you're just saying fuck it and not paying taxes at all. And
they don't.
Also bad. Yeah that's please, also real bad.
Please
yeah.
don't do that.
Yeah.
Please don't do that. I'm not, the feds are listening, so I'm not going to say names, but if the feds subscribe to the Patreon, you can get your money for free.
Yeah, it's our Patreon.
It's just snitch.
It's called snitching.
It's just snitch hour. It's worth the price. It's worth the top tier price. Okay.
So we covered deductibles there. We covered like the things there. Now, one of Trent's main questions was like showing how, well, first of all, let me just say that also with like the credit card, I highly recommend that to anybody having a designated. And the thing is, I also use my Delta credit card. I use it for everything because it's very easy to just pick out like, well, when I was in Oklahoma City eating barbecue.
Right.
And you can see that I was also there for comedy. Like, look at my calendar of dates and everything. And you can, you know, there's digital fingerprints of everything now, you know? Right. And so, like, I ain't too worried about that. But, you know, having a designated one would probably be even better. But, like, just use it for everything. Because also, you can get one that gets you points in the way that you want points.
Right.
Whether it's cash back or you want to earn airline miles or whatever. Like, if you're paying cash, you're just leaving money on the table again, like in the fact. And now the big thing is make sure you're paying off your credit card statement every single month.
Yeah.
Like 100%. don't get into credit card debt, you know, like we are just adamant about it, you know. And you know, Denise and I are older. We've been working our entire lives. And so we got to a point a couple of years ago, probably like almost 10 years ago now, where we paid off we paid off our credit cards.
Yeah.
And we're like, yep, that's it. We'll keep credit cards. we're never going to carry a balance. And it's the same thing, you know? And so, but yeah, that's a very easy way to just have like all the receipts in the world that you're ever going to need. But Trent's other question is like showing his expenses, right? Because he's paying out as a booker. You know, he says he's a booker, but also like he still hasn't booked me or Dwight. So I don't know if that's his
fucked up.
I know this is real. I don't know. Fucked Trent's up, really
Trent.
A booker. I mean, are you really a booker if you've never booked me or Dwight?
Yeah, you claim to be a fan.
Is Live Nation really comedy bookers? Because they've never booked me or Dwight. So.
Does JFL still book?
Speaking of JFL, how funny slash inappropriate would be if we released a thing that was JFL, but it's just for Limestone? Like here's
like a new faces,
like a 2024 JFL, like when we announced the people who got in the features,
yeah.
Like the JFL new faces, but it's just for Limestone.
That would be all right. Let's burn it down because this is the last year. That would be us quitting.
Yeah,
that would
exactly.
Be like us being like we don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Anyway, it works out. This is still the same thing. All right. So as a booker showing, well, first of all, I understand like how easy it is to just hand a comic $20 or $50 or whatever cash. And as comics, we like that. But the reason most bookers pay you these days with Venmo is because it's trackable.
Yep.
It's trackable. There's a receipt. You can show like I paid Dwight Simmons $6,000 to come do that 10-minute spot.
Right.
At my, you know, at my show, you know.
Yeah, it was the best don't tell show I've ever done. 30 people. I don't know how much they paid. But yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Joe Pettis has his LLC. So he runs a lot of shows in Atlanta. So even if he's just paying you spot pay, it's there for him. And it says it comes from his LLC.
Yeah.
It's not like the same thing if you went to a comedy club where they have you fill out a tax form and then they have to write that off. I've also done shows, which I won't name, that pay under a certain threshold. This is like brewery, so that they don't have to pay taxes on the performer. They'll be like, I think it's in Illinois, it's like $600 or something like that.
They don't have to claim a single performance if it's under a certain amount. Yeah.
Yeah. So they pay like $598 in check and then the rest in cash. And so they're like, I don't have to send you a tax form, you know. So people do that.
At that point, you just don't that cash part that you paid you just goes away. You just claim that they paid you $598. You don't.
Yep.
Yeah. It just disappears on both sides because you fuck it up if you also.
Like, I was trying to support my Patreon. Straight snitching.
Yeah.
They pay me in cash. I work for the IRS. this is tougher because depending on how many shows you book, I don't know if you can write that off as like a labor cost or like a producer cost.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just you're showing because it looks like basically the way is like, you know, like the same way that, you know, like if I, you know, if I get X amount of money from Cardinal Spirits to put on the show and then I'm paying out these comics, but then I also just don't claim that producer because there's like you can just take yourself out of it, really.
Right.
You know, unless that venue is paying you by check or something that is trackable, right?
Right.
If the venue is giving you a check or a Venmo or something, then you need to figure out how to do it. And the easiest way is Venmo and PayPal. And at first I was like, you know, because I'm from that Manila envelope generation.
Manila envelope boy.
I was always like, just hand me money. But now I'm like, oh, I get it. Like now it's like, that's fine. It's like, okay, I 100% get why people are doing this. But I used to just be like, I'm still like that. When someone, now if someone tries to hand me a check, I'm like, just Venmo me.
Come on,
what
man.
Do you do? Like, man, like.
Come on. What are you doing? Venmo's checking like more, are they at least reporting payments to the IRS? So you have to keep track of that as well. You have to report that stuff.
Yeah, but it's the exact same thing as using a credit card for buying stuff. Using Venmo to pay people, there's instant receipts.
Yep.
You know, so that would definitely be my biggest recommendation there. And then you just kind of save yourself. If I can also like just put some, you know, hope into everybody's heart too. I did have a friend who worked with the IRS for a while, and they actually said, unless the IRS thinks that you're like cheating them of like, I think it was something like $80,000 or more. That's how much they think you're cheating them. Not even like you made $80,000. They think if you were keeping $80,000 or more off the books, it has to hit that threshold before they will audit you, because otherwise they lose money on the audit.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to pay someone to do that.
They have to send an auditor to come, and there's the expense of sending them, and then all that kind of stuff. And so, like, again, don't quote me on that shit, but most of the time the people that get audited are businesses that get audited, and they get audited for years and years and years of tax fraud.
Right.
Right. So it racks up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so then they're like, okay, now it's worth us sending an auditor to this place for several weeks to do this audit.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
no, I mean,
I'm not saying that if you cheat in a little bit on your taxes, but that, I mean, saying that more to just say, like, even if you're not doing it perfectly, you're probably still fine until you're getting that, like, you know,
yeah, they can get rejected. I mean, but like, yeah, they're not, I don't think they're coming after you hardcore like they did my man Wesley Snipes. There's a performer. There's a performer who didn't pay his taxes, and they took his shit.
Willie Nelson also didn't pay his taxes.
Did he do jail time for taxes?
I think he avoided jail time because he was able to get the money
to be white.
He got the money to be white.
Yeah, that was nice. I think Snipes did 2 years.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Well. Should have been white. I
don't. Yeah, he should have. Before you did Blade.
He should have been Jean-Claude Van Damme. I don't know what to tell you.
You had your shot, Wesley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But like, let's talk about that. Like, yeah. We're taking your tax questions and turning them into a race. Like, they're, oh my God. Because, like, you know what? I just saw a thing about how Nick Cage also like had a like several million dollar tax bill or whatever, and he also didn't do any time.
Things are getting I love making everything about race, and then because it's just fun to do
because it's accurate.
It's so fun. But then you see one and you're like, I don't, come on. So yesterday Diddy's house got raided for sex trafficking. And someone on Instagram or Threads, they were like, isn't it funny how he didn't get a warning, but Trump seemed to get a warning? I was like, all right. It's not, Diddy wasn't the president of the United States with Secret Service. They didn't have to give Diddy a heads up before they raided him for sex trafficking. Now, insane it you have to be to defend a sex trafficker.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've seen it quite a bit over the years. Yeah. Like, you know, anyway.
But we digress. We digress, which is the name of this podcast, obviously. Mm-hmm.
But Trent, I think that your spreadsheet is a great way. It's a great way to start. And like Dwight said, he does a similar thing. You guys are both more organized than I am. What I also like about this, let's get away from the money side of it too, is like this is a really nice like snapshot for you to just look at. We should also just, for people that are listening, like basically these are the columns on Trent's spreadsheet, which like has the date, what the gig was, stage time, how much time he did, how much he was paid.
That is next level, bro.
Yeah, how much? Yeah, the stage time thing is really a great way when you're first starting off, also to kind of look back and think about, you know, like it's important. We as comics get so focused on what's next, and the minute we actually accomplish something, then it doesn't count, it doesn't matter, like it's in the nature of it. We're constantly like, yeah, but I didn't get this, you know. And so it's nice to like have something like this when you can look back. And the same thing, like when I do my compiling for my taxes and I see how many shows I did,
you're like, oh shit,
and I see how little money I made, you know, I'm like, oh shit,
I guess we fire this up for another year. This is this will be the year.
Yeah. So, but he's got, so I think that stage time thing is really nice. I think it shows, particularly as a younger comic who's coming up, and you could see like, oh shit, that one. All right, cool. They had him come in and close out that showcase. He did like 30 minutes on that one. That's cool. You know, things like that. But he's got the money spent, and he breaks it down into things like gas and food and whatnot. And then he has a column showing the total made, his net, you know, some of those are losses, and you're going to have that. And again, a loss on the spreadsheet looks bad, but just remember that is good for taxes.
Yes. Cumulative. Yeah,
the shows where you lost money, you got to have some of those to balance out all that money that you made. You know.
See, look at my spreadsheet. I mean, yeah, so, you don't get those losses if you book Matt and Dwight. I'm just, we want to come to the coast too. Yeah. We want to write stuff off in Los Angeles. That's where Trent lives, right?
I think he's in Northern California, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's in Northern California. Trent, it doesn't matter.
I'd go there too.
Yeah, we do all up and down Cali. It's fine.
Welcome to Begging for Stage Time with Matt and Dwight. Begging for
Stage Time. Yep, might. Exactly. Speaking of which, I thought I was going to bring this up last episode, but then you had mentioned the episode before was our highest numbers that we'd ever gotten. I was going to apologize for being so whiny about people not booking me. And then, but if that's what the people like, if that's what gets the listeners, if people are sharing the podcast, like, Jesus, you need to hear Matt be a whiny little bitch on this episode, then I'm going to do more of it, guys. And, I also want to say that from me whining about that, I did have two people offer me shows. Oh, they didn't specifically say it was from me whining, but I knew. I could tell where the shows, you know, out of all of a sudden, these people were like, hey, we'd love for you to do our showcase show. You know,
they were both people under 24.
It works.
Specifically it works. Called out young people.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'm just saying, respect your elders and just have me on as like the novelty. Like, look at this old fuck still doing jokes. Isn't that adorable?
This was crazy because Matt doesn't even want to do the show. No. He just wants to be asked.
I said no to both shows. So it really was a win-win. One of them I couldn't do, and the other one I couldn't do. So yeah. So I was very flattered to be asked. Not flattered. It was nice to be asked. It wasn't like they were like super high-end shows. One of them is a show that I've done before and I would do again. It's just the date that they asked me for wasn't going to work. But anyway,
he said he put it out into the universe. The universe gave him what he wanted, and he gave the universe the finger.
With a heavy sigh, the universe is like, fine.
Come on.
Here you go.
I love that.
Whiny little bitch.
I love that. Oh,
anyway. Brilliant. Trent, I hope that we answer your question. I think that you're doing pretty much everything right. Again, the only adjustments I would make would be to start paying people through Venmo or PayPal. So you have a very easy way to show that as an expense. And then, keep it going, man. You're doing great. Like $16,000 ain't nothing to sneeze at, you know?
That's really good. That's really good, man.
Yeah. If anybody out there has a question for the podcast, we will be going on a 2-week hiatus, but we will get to your questions as soon as we get back on the air. You can email us at mattanddwight@gmail.com, mattanddwight@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And even if you don't have a question, if you found that this episode was helpful, if you are getting to that point where you're going to start doing taxes for the first time, maybe, hopefully we gave you some tips and tricks here and ways to organize and look at it and think about it. So let us know what you did. Let us know your numbers. Give us your social security number.
Yes, we want to know how much you made, and we'll post those numbers and your name on social media.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to do a ranking.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Top 10 most successful listeners of Mad Dice, just my. And oh, man. We do have a few minutes left, so I did have a topic that I wanted to bring up and see what you thought. I was, first of all, I think in conversation, stumbled across an amazing name for a show. But I was texting with a good friend who is a comedian in a major scene, one of the biggest scenes in the country, and they were talking about there's this shift in comedy in the last couple of years particularly, and this is probably, you know, the TikTok generation of comedy, where more and more showcases, which is the, you know, predominant style in large cities, they were like, yeah, most showcases now it'd be like 7 comics who are physically attractive, young, physically attractive people who are pretty mid at comedy.
Yeah.
And then 2 or 3 uggos who crush.
That's.
And I told them immediately, I was like, please start a show called Uggos Who Crush. And so I don't think they're going to. So I'm just going to put that out in the universe. Anybody
Uggos that to crush.
Uggos that crush.
I can't.
Comedy show.
The audacity to send an invite to anybody to perform on that show. That is brilliant. You want to get booked?
Yeah.
Yep. You want to get booked? Here you go. Uggos who crush. I guess you're like, hey, I do crush, but
I mean, you know, like it's Uggos or crush, which is it's both. This does get very close to Tom Sikar's hot people tax joke.
It does. That's so funny. That's a funny ass joke. That's really funny. Maybe comics that are newer just care more about their how they look than we did. You know what I mean? Like
no, than we do now. No, I think maybe I think if you looked at us younger, like oh shit, I was dressing up too. I wasn't wearing like dirty sweatpants on stage. Just with the confidence of my joke and my my dick silhouette to fucking carry me. My
dick silhouette. Do you think when, well, you didn't start young, so how would you even know? How would you even know? You weren't a little supple.
I go from day one, college boy
like I was.
Yeah.
He started this.
This has been my hairline the entire time, Dwight. This has been my hairline the whole time that I've been doing comedy.
You got to watch my hairline be like Icarus.
Yeah. Well, it's actually because I bumped up against you one time. That's what happened. I actually passed it on to you like the ring.
We spent 80 hours in a car over a week together, and my hair was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, nope. Man. Yep.
This is life. I don't want any part of this.
Oh man. But yeah, I you know, we've kind of complained about the TikTokification of comedy from the audience viewpoint, where everybody thinks they're supposed to talk back and heckle and be part of the show. And you know, it does seem like it's a wild, you know, ever-changing landscape.
Have you noticed it lessening?
I have actually yeah, recently. Me too. Yeah, and I think it's mostly because I haven't been working as much. I haven't had as many shows. And not
the
a lot
number
of
one way to solve
house.
A problem.
You would think there'd be a lot of heckling in my house, but not much. No, I. So,
God damn.
Yeah. No, I think it has lessened a little bit. I think maybe rooms are finally having enough of it where they're just like, yeah, we're not. You know, I mean, I was talking with someone who owns a club, and they talked about the explicit links that they go to when someone first comes into the club and they're checking in, like they bought their tickets and they're checking in. They get the speech right there at like the host stand about like, hey, are you sure you've seen comedy online or whatever? This is different. Please don't yell out. But what they just like, and then the host says it, and then they say it over the, you know, PA before they bring the host up. And then the host says it at the end of their set. And then still like people are like, blah, blah, blah. Like I went to Florida once, you know, or whatever, you know,
it's never going to be perfect. Like it's live performance. And it's just when people get drunk, which has been happening the entirety of the history of comedy, shit like that's going to happen. That doesn't have anything to do with TikTok. The thing with TikTok is like young audiences being silent, like too like buttoned up to laugh, which hurts more. Like I can't have fun with that outside of the.
Yeah, I would take a drunk rowdy crowd over like a silent. Yeah. And yeah, because we did talk about this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast when I had a show in Brownstown, Brownsburg or whatever, with Thad McKee and Danny Browning, where there was the table right up front was all super young people, and then everyone else was like 30 and up, and it was like they were like in this little bubble of no laugh, and around them was laughter. But then of course they came up to me afterwards and bought merch and told me how great it was. So I really think they're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Weird, the silence of the young people. And then also, have you heard that I mentioned one time?
No.
Dude, I like this last batch of submissions that came in from Limestone that I was pre-screening to make sure that they worked. You know, I watched like the first 30, 45 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
I heard it in several of those too.
Wow.
It's a thing. It's a thing where that's how certain young people are. Instead of laughing, they're going, and
it's like you, when I was in high school, that's when tight used to be like, man, that's tight. That's tight. You think it's like somebody started?
What about Tizzite? Did you ever do Tizzite?
Not until Snoop Dogg came out with that one song.
Okay.
Where everything had a Z in it.
Yeah.
Tizzite. And then people would rhyme it with my name. And then I was like, Dwight, so Tizzite. And then I was like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I never want to hear.
You ever went by Dwizzite?
No, don't ever. Never, ever, ever, ever. The way that is Tizite. I was like, you, these are all white people, by the way. These are all, it was all the Manila generation.
Well, that's not what that means. Come on. Come on.
It was, that's the subtext is there. That's what that
you
means.
Think. Okay. All right.
Subtext is there.
Yeah. Like, yeah. White people, we just love to keep the brown envelope down. We just love to, yeah. You hold all my receipts. Is that what?
Can I name the podcast White People Manila, Keeping the Brown, the Manila Envelope Down?
Yes. Oh, sure. Yep.
We can name the episode.
Yep. All right. Well, once again, we have just ran out of steam and kept talking for no reason.
This is what we do. This is what the people.
But that should be the real name of this podcast. Like, dude, just cut that off bullshit. Like 7 minutes off. Like,
it's a 13-minute podcast. Bonus episode.
Bonus episode.
Seven minutes at the end are the bonus. That's
okay,
the bonus.
There we go. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. I think because like how bad we are at just getting like weird, like slap happy, fucking no focus conversation at the end of the podcast is the single reason why we'll never have a Patreon. Everybody's like, Jesus, if they can't even keep it together for a fucking regular episode, what if that was the promise? What if the Patreon was just, and not extra content, it's just an edited down focused version of this podcast.
Wow. It's just we actually edit the podcast.
The cliff notes. It's actually edited. It's cliff notes.
Yes.
And it's just like, boom, boom, boom.
We put the little cliff notes where it's like at 28:38, they really get into the advice and then they answer a question at 32 minutes.
Yeah.
There's a thought.
There's a thought. Yeah. I think that'll do it for this week of the podcast. Dwight, you got any final words for anybody while we're going on hiatus for 2 weeks?
Please send in questions. I'd love to come back to a full inbox. Maybe we'll do a mailbag episode since we won't have shows.
Mailbag.
But send an email. Enjoy your Easter if you're into such a thing. But really appreciate everyone listening, all the new people that have reached out and said cool shit. That's really nice. It keeps us going because we will not be writing off this podcast.
No, thanks. We are writing off this podcast. We're writing off the Zoom subscription. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'll write that off.
Yeah,
right
exactly.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you better be.
This is the definition of taking a loss.
Yeah.
And follow Matt's advice. Take those losses.
Uh-huh. Yep, they build character. And they're good for your taxes.